You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Happy Thanksgiving. You are listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And we have a really great show for you guys today. And we're going to be talking to a lady who has a lot to be thankful for this year. So just want to welcome everyone to the Right Stream Radio Network. We are a network of shows. We have 6 shows a week right now, and adding a 7th soon, hopefully. And I host Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis. That's me, Lisa Tarvis. And my show is on Sunday at 7 p.m. Daria Ann DiGiovanni, who's on the other side. Hey, Daria.
Hey, Lisa. Happy Thanksgiving to you. One of my very favorite holidays.
It is. It's good. The whole house always smells so good. You know, it smells good. I love it. But Daria hosts on Tuesdays, Right Stream Tuesday, with Daria Ann. That airs at 1 p.m. She interviews all sorts of authors and from all different genres. That she isn't specific. I do spirituality. I have psychics on my show most weeks. And Daria Ann she does some spirituality stuff, but she does a range of different things. Yesterday she did a great show. She did on a Tuesday 2 weeks ago, I guess it was. She had Military Monday with John D. Gresham. He does his show on Mondays, and she had him on the show. And how did that show go? By the way, it was Veterans Day. This was Veterans Day when she did this show. I think that was two weeks ago on Tuesday. So. How did it go, Daria? I wanted to ask you about that.
It was fantastic. You know, it just happened that November 11th fell on a Tuesday, and so I asked John, because he really is our resident military historian and expert on all things military, I said, John, would you like to co-host Right Stream Tuesday with me? And he said, oh, absolutely. And he said, you know, in lieu of me doing a Military Monday, why don't we just combine one show into Tuesday? So that week he played a rerun. And he put together, John, if you're listening, kudos to you. Happy Thanksgiving, by the way. But thank you so much, because we had two excellent guests on. We had Colonel Neil Zimmerman, and we had a woman who's a journalist, Lisa, who will make a great LLL future guest. I have to talk to you about that offline. Donna Lyons, she's been a local news anchor when she lived out in California. She's a journalist with The Examiner, and so she came on because she is married to a military veteran. And we focused on, in the first segment of the show, we focused on a wonderful charity called the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. And they have a very, very specific focus in that they provide education for the children of any warrior who has fallen. And it doesn't have to be college. I mean, if the kid wants to go to a trade school, if they want to go to a culinary school, if they really want to be a mechanic, this foundation pays for everything. And that includes tuition, books, whatever they need. If they're going to be living at school, it includes that. And I think what's important, we talked about the importance of a charity having sort of a narrow focus, because you can really help more people within that focus. But we also discussed ways that people can identify worthy charities, which quite honestly is great, not just for military charities, but just charities in general. And then we talked about some of the issues that our veterans are dealing with now. And by the way, Lisa, I was able to sneak in towards the end a question about homelessness, which unfortunately we ran out of time and we couldn't really cover in its entirety. But John and I are planning to do another show soon, or at least he's planning to do one on an upcoming Military Monday, because I think that's really important.
Yeah, I had asked Daria a question when she was going to air the show, and the reason we're making a big deal out of the show is because it's such an important topic, and everyone, you can catch it in the archives, blogtalkradio.com/rightstream, and look for, it was November 11th, Daria's show, talking, Rightstream Tuesday, sorry. Wow. November 11th on Veterans Day, and you can check the show out there. But one of the things I had talked about was I had read a statistic that a huge population of the homeless are veterans, and that made me sick. And I brought that up to Daria before they recorded the show because I just think that's horrible. I mean, it blows my mind that our country is not taking better care, at least putting a roof over their head and food in their mouths. It just blows my mind. So, not to mention all the psychological, help that many of them need from, dealing with the things they saw during combat and et cetera. But anyway, everyone, you can catch that show in the archives at blogtalkradio.com/rightstream and look for Rightstream Tuesday, November 11th show, and you'll be able to listen to Daria Ann and Military Monday's John D. Gresham with that show. All right, back to today's show. I just wanted to make a big deal because, it's Thanksgiving, and I think that show is important even for Thanksgiving. I mean, that show means a lot about, about our American heritage and how we got here. And without the veterans, we wouldn't be celebrating a lot of holidays that we celebrate. So anyway, today, I just totally believe that, and it's just, I don't know, I think it's just a great show to for everyone to listen to. Anyway, so we can run through the Rightstream lineup real quick. Sundays, we have Just Believe with me, Lisa Tarvis, at 7 p.m. Mondays, we have Military Monday with John D. Gresham at 1 p.m. Tuesdays, Rightstream Tuesday with Daria Ann at 1 p.m. Wednesdays, SEO Strategies with Snapperhead. On Thursdays, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. Hello, that's us. With Lisa Tarvis and Daria Ann at 7 p.m. Friday, the Speculative Fiction Cantina with S. Evan Townsend, which is at 6 p.m. Eastern. All these times are Eastern times, even though everybody's not on the East Coast. We're giving you East Coast times. And Saturday is our open slot. We have an open slot for a Saturday show that we're looking for. And Daria and I have been putting lots of information out. So follow at Rightstream on Twitter or hashtag Rightstream on Twitter. Go to rightstreamradio.com and you're going to be able to contact us. If you have an idea for a show, if you think you would be a great fit for a show within our network, we're looking for either a ghost hunting paranormal show, a fitness health type show, or maybe a life coach show, that isn't specifically spiritual. We're trying to keep the topics varied, so have an eclectic group of shows. So anyway, you can go to rightstreamradio.com where you can check out all our hosts, all our shows about our network, and you can contact us if you have anything you'd like to add to our network. We are looking for that on Saturdays. So, back to today's show. Daria, would you do the honors of introducing today's guest?
Would be my pleasure. Today's guest is Maureen Miles Bucci, author of A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer, Surviving Cancer with Humor, Grace, and Style. Maureen was sharing a wonderful life with her loving husband, until her world was turned upside down by a diagnosis of endometrial cancer in 2011. Having lost a sister to this life-threatening disease, she was already unhappily acquainted with cancer, a formidable opponent. However, in the aftermath of diagnosis, Maureen firmly resolved to fight her unique battle as though she were entering the ring for the ultimate boxing match, the outcome of which would mean the difference between life and death. While she was fully prepared to struggle and suffer, she was not willing to concede. Along the way, Maureen developed some practical coping methods for both patients and caregivers through the process of journaling, which later became the foundation for A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. Thanks to the hard lessons gleaned from experience, along with her refreshing honesty, born from a genuine desire to guide others through treatment and recovery, Maureen's writing is raw and edgy. She pulls no punches while addressing and answering many of the taboo questions for cancer patients and their caregivers in order to adequately prepare them to go the distance. So welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, Maureen Miles-Bucci.
Hello, Daria. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, Maureen. Thanks so much for being on the show. We're really excited to have you on. When Daria first told me the name of your book, way back when, you know, it was being created, I was like, oh, I love that title. I'm like, what a catchy title. I think that's just awesome because, you know, it's catchy. I mean, I got to read this book. I mean, if you're anyone who has experienced, unfortunately have, you know, had to go through cancer, especially for women, because women's cancers are so unique. Tell us about your cancer. What exactly was it? And I know Jerry used a technical term, but is it ovarian cancer?
Endometrial cancer is uterine cancer. It's cervical cancer. Mine had actually gone into my tube. It's ovarian cancer, which is the real nasty one.
Right.
You can have ovarian cancer without having all the other ones. Unfortunately for me, I got lucky and got them all.
Oh, yeah, that's real lucky.
Yeah, and it's funny because it was just around this time in 2011 that I was getting the phone calls that, you know, there's something wrong and we have to keep looking, and it's just the timing is really strange right now.
Yeah, but when you know, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about was, because we always get into this when we talk about breast cancer, when we talk about, you know, the cancers in general, how did they find this? Were you keeping up with your yearly appointments or not? You know, I mean, did they catch it? Was it something they caught early?
No. What had happened, I had gone through menopause, and also I had these really strange symptoms, but the sad part about ovarian cancer, symptoms mimic menopause.
Right.
So I went to Pap smear. Pap smear don't show ovarian cancer. No, they don't. I think they show cervical, no ovarian. I went for all that. My doctor still kept. She had this gnawing feeling, so she said, "Would you mind going for an ultrasound?" Which was fine, no problem. I went to the ultrasound. Nothing showed up. She called me back on the phone again, and she said, I can't help it. I've got this feeling. Would you come back in? Let's do a biopsy and put it to rest. So I did, and she called me a little while later and said, you have stage 3B cancer.
Oh, my
and
God.
It's spread into your tubes, and we're not sure where else. So she was a lovely doctor. She called a gynecological oncologist for me, which had me in the office within 2 days, and then he started with the hysterectomy. We went from there, and we found out that it was a lot more advanced than they had thought it was. But this, it's so sad. I mean, that the symptoms, they're bloating and trouble with your bladder. I used to call myself Princess P a lot because I ran to the bathroom all the time.
Princess P, I like that.
Yeah, Princess Pee-a-Lot, isn't that cute?
That's cute. I like Princess Pee-a-Lot.
Yes, that was me. But you know how we blow these things off, like, oh, it's no big deal, you know. But unfortunately, they are, and they're just symptoms that we don't look at as being serious.
But we're all about the same age, Daria, me and you, and being the age that we're at, I mean, for me, I'm in the middle of perimenopause, whatever the hell that is. And there are weird symptoms. And for me, I have half a thyroid. I have thyroid disease, and they had to take half of it out. And a lot of the symptoms of menopause and perimenopause are the same as menopause or as thyroid disease. So I get why you wouldn't be jumping on.
Know.
And plus, as we get older, you sneeze. You pee a little. You cough, you pee a little.
Yep.
I mean, that kind of comes with the territory of getting older, especially if you've had babies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the sad part about this disease. It actually affects those of us who've never had children more so than women who have children.
Really?
But I can't really substantiate that, but that's what I've been told.
Wow. Wow. Not for me. I had.
There you go.
Yeah.
You did your time.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. You got to. I mean, that's definitely a scary statistic. Although they say, you know, at one point they said the same about breast cancer. I don't remember if it was that or if it was the reverse. But you know, the statistics change, I think, a lot as they learn more about these diseases. How did you make the decision? All right, I'm going in. This is a war. I'm going to win.
You know, I didn't really think about it in that way. I from the minute I met my doctor, I really had a lot of faith in him. I went in scared to death, had never been in the hospital in my life, and I had to go in for a complete hysterectomy. Had that done, and he's like, you know, I think we'll be able to handle this with some radiation. This was before the operation. After the operation, he came back and said, we're going to have to talk about chemo. So I was like, okay. So I went in and I talked to him, and, you know, he said, you're going to have 3 sessions of chemo, 35 sessions of radiation, 2 brachy, I think they're called, and then chemo again, which they called mop-up chemo, to get anything they may have missed. So it was a lot more than what he had originally thought was even there.
Right.
So really, it's a nasty little thing. It hides, you know, it travels. And just there's one really strange thing about this cancer that I don't know why, but even after your ovaries are gone, it comes back. 70% of the women diagnosed die within 5 years.
That's
my facts come through the Norma Lee Foundation, and they're a very good foundation. They do a lot of awareness type activities, and that's why we're really trying to push, because it's no nonsense. It's a killer. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's unreal. I mean, I didn't know that it could come back after, you know, it was gone.
No, he told me, I've been aware from the very beginning, that he will be treating it as a recurring disease. But that's okay, because I'm here today and it's a good day, and, you know, tomorrow they may find a cure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's all pray for that. You know, it's something that we certainly do need to do a lot. Well, they've been doing research on it forever, and I hope to God somebody comes out with a simple pill. You know, it would
be
great. Like an antibiotic, you just take it, and cancer's gone. That'd be nice. That would be nice.
I wanted to write the book more like on a fun type thing, because it's so serious. It needs to be lightened up a little bit. Then maybe people will want to talk about it.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of women and a lot of people in general that don't really know what to expect going into treatment for cancer of any kind. And I think when it gets to being, you know, I mean, it's all of a sudden your body is invaded by chemicals and radiation and by cancer itself, and mm-hmm. and then by doctors poking and prodding at you constantly, you know. Before we get into talking about the book, which of course is the whole point, tell us about your support system. I mean, you said you had already lost your sister from the same thing?
No, my sister had lung cancer.
Oh, okay.
And my mother and father were gone. It was basically my husband and I. And
right.
I had a few that helped out, but that was enough. It's amazing. Something happens to you and you know you have to do this, and I can't explain it, but something takes over, gives you a whole lot of strength, and you just know what to do. You just know how to plod on. You figure it out.
Yeah.
They're really, I know people like to think that there's a lot of support, but what I have found is most girls are on their own. It's really tough. It's long. It's tedious. There's a lot to do. You know, 35 days of radiation. You have to be there every day. So you learn to cope.
Yeah, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what made you decide to write the book, and that the whole process around writing a book, which Jerry and I have both done, as you have, and we know how hard it is, and how much effort how much work goes into it. What made you decide to take on that endeavor?
Because I didn't know what to expect, and none of us ever do. So I just wanted to write a book about, like, what happens to you as a girl, as a woman. Like, I was always real prissy. My hair had to be perfect and makeup. And then I had, absolutely no hair at all. I was a smoothie. I had no eyelashes. You know, those things that happen, like how important your eyelashes are because they keep your eyes clean. And all those little things that the doctor really doesn't have time to tell you or maybe doesn't even know. So I decided to just put them all together into a little guidebook just to be prepared for when you have to go through this, if you are unfortunate.
Yeah.
There's little sections in there about when your hair falls out that it hurts. You get a warning. Some things you can do to help that with little fleece caps. They really do help a lot. A lot of makeup tips, wig tips. Just the things I wish I'd have known. I didn't have to stumble through and find out.
Right. Right.
And a little bit of anger, too. There were a lot of things I saw on Facebook and social media that really used to, they just didn't sit well with me and a lot of the women that I sat with when we got treatments. People tend to belittle what we're going through, and, you know, it's like, oh, it's okay, you know, you can do this. Hair's not important, but it is important because it's my hair, so it is important to me.
Right.
My appearance
absolutely
is important.
Yeah, I think about, you know, the possibility, probably because it hit my family recently with my dad's pancreatic cancer, but mm-hmm. I think all the time about what if I get cancer? And there are so many different types of cancer. I never heard of the one that you had. You know, I had never even heard of it. I thought it was pretty much just ovarian cancer. I didn't know, you know, when I heard your story. So there are so many out there, and I go right, I'm a girly girl. I am a girly girl, too. And so for me, I start thinking, if I lost my hair, oh, my God, you know. And then you look at the price of wigs. I went through that when my sister-in-law had breast cancer. And the wigs can be thousands of dollars.
Yes, they can be.
I mean, it's just crazy.
There's not much help out there from, you know, as far as getting some assistance to buy a girl a wig. I do work with the Lovely You Wig Shop, and they do some charity events to raise money to give wigs to girls who can't afford them, because it really does help you when you look better.
Absolutely. So I am totally on board with, you know, those kind of groups. I remember since I was a teenager, probably not a teenager, in my 20s or 30s. It's all running together. I don't even know anymore. But, you know, I remember Locks of Love, and I always had long hair, and they were like, if you had like six inches of hair or more that they were going to cut off, they would donate it to Locks of Love. And I don't even know if that program's still out there, that agency, but you know, I always made sure I waited till it needed, like, you know, that much cut off so that I could do that. And my hair is really thin, so it didn't really probably do a whole lot for anybody. But if they mixed it with somebody else's, it might have looked all right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure how they do that, but it's got to be really important because, you know, I mean, your looks are so important. You know, it's what we see every time we look in the mirror, how we feel about ourselves. I mean, did you go out? Did you hide at home? What did you do? How did you live your life during this time?
Oh, I went out. Any day that I felt good, I was out the door. I did not stay in. I bought wigs, and I had a really small head, so I had trouble finding wigs to fit me. Luckily, it was winter time. I'd plop a wig on, I'd put a little hat on top of it, and I went. It could have its day. I mean, cancer was going to keep me down a little bit here and there, but it wasn't getting my life. It just wasn't. I didn't want it to. I had things I wanted to do. You know, Macy's was calling. I had to go.
Yeah, that's right. Come here, Maureen. Come visit us. We're having a sale. There's a sale.
You understand, the one-day sale.
Your credit card has reached a zero balance. Come back.
In all seriousness, I did. I had to go. Like I was,
yeah.
I wasn't prepared to give in. My driving factor was I am not leaving my husband alone in this world. That's it.
Yeah.
Not
That's
leaving
beautiful.
Him.
So,
he's
beautiful.
Very
you know.
Me.
Yeah.
And I mean it. I could not leave him here alone. So it got me through. Me and my 2% chance of survival. What do you think? Pretty good, huh?
I cannot. I mean, the statistics, hearing the statistics of that cancer blows my mind. You know, they talk about lung cancer being the most deadly and then followed by, I think, pancreatic cancer. Nobody's talking about this cancer. I'd never heard of it until you. You know, I had never heard of this specific kind of cancer. And it's so, so deadly. I mean... It's really mind blowing, you know, and for someone like you to have gone through what you've gone through and wanted to make it easier for the next person that will unfortunately not only your kind of cancer what you have, but any kind of cancer, you know, that's a girly girl, you know, I call them girly girls, you know, that's a girly girl. If you're a girly girl, this is the perfect book for you. And I want to have Darius talk a little bit because Darius is the expert book writer. You know, she does ghostwriting and she does social media work for people. And you know, if you have a story to tell, Darius is the girl to talk to. And so I want to let her take over on the side of, you know, what the book writing process was like, because I think that's more up her alley.
Okay.
But I want to know. That's what I want to know. I mean, how'd you do it?
How did I do it?
You mean how did Maureen and I work together? How did we get the book put together?
Yeah. How did you get to know each other? How did the whole thing happen?
Actually, it's a really cool story. To be quite honest, since full disclosure here, Maureen's husband and my oldest brother Mark were like best friends growing up, and then it was like one of those things where, you know, people lose touch with each other. And I, you know, moved to Florida in 1994, but then, you know, when Facebook came along, you know, I started reconnecting with people, and Tommy was one of them. And so it was just kind of funny that, you know, Maureen and I got connected on there through Tommy. And Maureen, it's so funny because, you know, I think one of the first times you and I talked about this, or when you first approached me about it, I said to you, I think I met you when I was in high school. Weren't you at our house, like, for Christmas 1 year ago? I remember the coats you were wearing, you and Tom at the time. And yet, it's just so funny, Lisa, how everything kind of circles back around. And social media, by and large, has been a huge positive in my life. You know, you meet some weirdos, but for the most part, I've reconnected with some really great people. So anyway, Tommy had seen, you know, the work that I was doing. I was putting it out there. And Maureen, right, he suggested that you get in touch with me. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he is such a great guy. I mean, I just want to, you know, He, Maureen, just from working on your book, I saw how supportive he was of you and just what a solid, good, decent guy he was. And so, you know, Maureen got in touch with me. And I'll be honest, at the time, when she first contacted me, I was in the middle of ghostwriting Steps to Salvation, which was just the most challenging thing I've ever worked on. And I'm very proud of the way it turned out, but I was kind of like not really able to take it on. And I did say, and we'll be honest, I said, well, you know, and this is for me being totally ignorant of what women dealing with ovarian and endometrial cancer are really dealing with on a daily basis. I didn't know a lot of the stuff that's in Maureen's book, which I definitely want to talk about. But I said to her, God, this is so negative. Were people really like this? And she's like, Daria, yeah, this is my honest experience. And we kind of had a little bit of a back and forth. And then Maureen, I can let you jump in here too. Then the project was kind of in limbo for a while. And then we reconnected, what, this summer?
Yes.
So... And I have to say, Lisa, that this book has been such a learning, a very humbling experience and also a learning experience, because it's like that old expression, until you walk a mile in someone else's shoes, you have no idea what they've been through. And I was totally on board with Maureen's whole concept of helping women retain their femininity and their humanity through this very cruel, inhumane, if you will, process. I mean, it's necessary to save their life, but it can easily rob a woman of her dignity if she allows it to. And that was one of the things I loved about Maureen's book. And I also, Maureen, I love that you do not pull any punches. I mean, you're just like,
no.
Look, here's what you're going to have to deal with.
And you know what? And people may look at it as negative, but it's a guide. This is what's going to happen. So there's a lot of frilly little, you know, nice, there, it'll be okay books. But that's not reality. It really, this one really, Sarah, you're right. It doesn't pull any punches. It's all out there.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's start with, you know, one of the things that really hit me in the gut, and we sort of alluded to it, but I want you to go into more detail, is just how, you know, so-called friends really demonstrate that they don't really understand the concept of genuine friendship. And, you know, can you speak a little bit about that? And also want to talk about the friend docs. We originally called them the Friends Medical Society, but the friend docs, too, who are well-meaning, perhaps, in their own minds, but they're really not doing any favors. So talk a little bit about that.
After, like, in the very beginning, you're the story of the day. You know, everybody's talking to you. Oh, my God, my friend has cancer. This is horrible, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to do everything, and... And then, you know, you go to your first treatment, you get a lot of phone calls, but and this is the same story that we all talk about. It dwindles and it dwindles and it dwindles down to practically nothing. During the midpoint of your treatment is probably when you need the most help, but in all reality, you're probably forgotten by then. And people tend to tell you, oh, my God, you look so good. You know, I can't believe you have cancer. This is wonderful. But it's kind of, and I often look at it as though people are just relieving their own conscience. Like, I don't look good. I mean, I have a pile of makeup on my gray alien skin. You know, I have lipstick on a lot different than what I would normally wear because my skin's gray now, so I need new colors. I don't have any hair. I don't look good. I have tattoos on me for where they shoot me with radiation. So they're not really seeing us. They're kind of seeing this reasonable facsimile of us, but it's not really us. But it's easier for them to deal with it in that way. It's scary, and I think a lot of it comes from cancer phobia. I think people don't want to realize how bad it is. They talk about it like they do, but they choose not to see it.
Or is it just that they don't know what to say? I mean, you know, maybe they don't know what to say. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, and people say that to me all the time, but I just have a hard time believing that a grown woman doesn't know how to share compassion. That just boggles my mind. Like, why can't somebody say to me, how are you feeling? Instead of walking up saying, oh, my God, you look good. Like, why can't you just say, how are you feeling, and let me tell you? But they assume doing okay. And maybe I'm being too harsh.
Well, no, because you're telling it from your perspective. I mean, you're telling it like it actually happened to you, so you can't be being harsh. My thing is, you know, for me, I guess I'm going back to the way I would deal with it, the way I have dealt with it. I'm not one to blow smoke up anyone's butt. So I, you know, if somebody doesn't look good, I'm not going to say you look great. You know, I'm going to say, how are you feeling? You look tired, maybe, you know what I mean? Something like that. I'm not going to say you look like crap, but I'm going to say, you know, you look tired. So maybe it's harder for me to even comprehend the concept that there are people out there that are just going to sit there and say, oh, you look so good, when you know that you've got makeup caked on and you're wearing this cap on your head because you don't have any hair and you know all that
right,
kind of stuff.
Right.
That's just not something I just don't understand why people would do that. But you experienced it firsthand, so obviously
I did, and over and over and over again. When like just as an example, like in a big grouping in church where people would see me every week. Like, I can tell you the same people every week would say to me, oh, my God, you look so good. You're so happy when you come in. I'm like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm out of the house. It's a good day, you know, I'm able to come out. But very few people actually asked how you're feeling and what they can do, if there's anything they really, truly, honestly can do to help you out. Like, I had a neighbor who used to call me all the time whenever she went to a store, which was like, that was the greatest gift anybody could have given me. I would have loved to had another person like her rather than somebody who sent me flowers. you know, just go to the store for someone or make them a meal. Easy
stuff.
Yeah. Their house or send someone to clean their house.
Right.
One thing I learned from Maureen's book is that, you know, life doesn't stop just because you have cancer. You still have everyday tasks that have to be done, laundry, vacuuming, cooking, cleaning, and it just would mean so much more. I really believe that giving of your time is a much bigger sacrifice than buying somebody something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
And
agreed.
It sounds cliche, but going to the store was a big deal for me because I had no strength. And it was hard. I would make a lot of short trips, and I was tired. I didn't want to keep going. But it that was one of the hardest things. So that's the best thing you can do in my book. You can go to the store for somebody. They'll love you.
Yeah, or Maureen, the other thing you pointed out in the book, you know, I was her editor, and I helped her through the independent publishing process. But the other thing we pointed out that somebody could do to help is, like, offer to drive a patient to chemo. If you have a day off or if you're not working full-time or, you know, if you're able to work it into your schedule or once in a while you have a day off, call that person up and say, hey, do you need a ride? Because as you pointed out in the book, Maureen, like, there are some days where you feel so horribly sick, but you still have to go for your treatment. And having someone there for company and then maybe go out for coffee or lunch afterward would do wonders for your attitude and for your, you know, for the way you feel.
I mean, that's actually one of my dreams, if I can get this book to take off and, you know, maybe make some money off of it. I want to start up a little thing where, you know, some survivors can take some people to their chemo once in a while because they know what to expect. So they know how to prepare for it and all, and just sit and chit-chat with the person for 3 hours while they're there or 7 hours, however long it is. But I would love to do that. That is so needed. People take themselves. Some people call cabs. They take a bus. It's sad.
Yeah, that was one of the real sad things about your book also is just the reality that there are people who not only have to deal with this horrible disease but are coping with it all alone. That just really got to me. And, you know, the other thing that, and I'm just mentioning this because it sort of alludes to what you just mentioned, and I'm really praying that the book takes off. We're working hard to make that happen because Maureen has so many great ideas. Like, I just found it very offensive that, you know, you can feel free to comment on this or not, that, you know, you are not, you know, quote-unquote entitled to get a ride on the jitney because your husband had a full-time job. I mean, I don't think economics should come into play when we're dealing with cancer.
It does, though.
In terms of offering someone transportation. I mean, that just really bothered me.
It does. This is the word they used, was entitled to anything because he had a job and I had insurance, which was fine, and we paid our bills, and, you know, we did okay. But people work hard. They need some money.
Yeah, so I'm excited about the possibility of being able to, you know, help out in that way. And the other thing that came out, Maureen, just getting back to the friends and sort of like the meaning, I think you mentioned the meaningless social media gestures, and also this ties in with it. I want to get into how I really appreciate the fact that you're trying to elevate the dialogue when it comes to female cancer. Because, again, and I may sound like a prude to some of our listeners, but I've really had it with save the tatas, save second base, and Maureen talks about this in her book.
I do.
I just think it's disgusting to degrade women to their body parts when we're talking about a serious life-threatening disease. Okay, Maureen, take it away. Sorry.
No, I like to call them lady cancers because we're ladies. And that's just the bottom line. It's we're going through a lot. There are lady parts, and that's it, whether, you know, it's our breast or our ovaries, whatever. It's I don't think it's funny, and I just feel as though maybe that's why it doesn't get the attention, because people don't take it as seriously. But I don't like it, and I know some other girls that don't like it either. We started calling it lady cancer with the Snobby Girl Cancer Club, and there's surprisingly a lot of people like it that way. You know, we have standards, and we're setting the bar high.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're somebody who likes the other more, let's just use the word crude, because I think that's probably more, you know, a way of saying it would be, it's a little more crude, a little more out there. Definitely not something that's, you know, funny, but you know, if you're somebody who likes that, fine, go to those sites, you know, go to those Facebook pages. But if you're someone who is not comfortable with that terminology, then that's why you created your Facebook page and your book and everything that came along with it.
Well, some of it was getting so out of hand, though. I just couldn't stomach it anymore. And I'm not a prude by no means at all. Like, I laugh as much as the next person. But it's so serious. We just want it to be taken serious once in a while. That's all. We just don't get the attention that other cancers get. So I guess we're a little sensitive.
Yeah, and I want to point out that Maureen's Snobby Girl Cancer Club is open to women dealing with all kinds of, not just female cancer, actually, but we have a woman in the club right now, Maureen, who has pancreatic.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not like she's not excluding anyone, but I like that for marketing purposes that we're calling it Lady Cancer Awareness. And Lucy the cat, who appears on the cover of Maureen's book, is our mascot, and she's really pretty. She's our symbol of Lady Cancer. And we're already over 100 members. I mean, Maureen, you just started this group, what, like a week ago?
Yeah, last Monday. Mm-hmm. We have some great girls in this group. And ladies, Lucy is our bouncer, so... You know, we're trying to keep it, like I said, we set the bar high, and we're trying to keep it that way. So Lucy's our little bouncer, and that's her job. And she only comes out when she has something really important to say. So hopefully, and to be quite honest with you, we've gotten really good feedback about the bar being set high.
Yeah, we really have, and it's really good. And, you know, another benefit of social media has been that, you know, Lisa, there's a woman from England in the UK who found the group, and she's currently going through treatment, Maureen, and she doesn't really have anybody in her life who really understands or she can lean on, and she's really getting a lot of support from this new group. Isn't that right?
Yes, there's no one in her life, thank God, who's never had cancer or been touched by it. So she's facing this. Well, she was facing it alone. I mean, now she comes on, she asks us questions, and that's what it's designed to do. It's designed to answer questions. The medical questions, that's what we have a doctor for. You know, we try not to get into any of that, but we answer all the other questions. Like, you know, if she says, how long will it take for my hair to fall out, or why is my nose running all the time? You know, we're there for those questions. Because people forget, you know, when you lose your hair, you lose your nose filter, which means your nose is going to run constantly. And they're the little annoyances in life that no one really, you know, tells you to expect.
Yeah, and one of the other things that I liked, Maureen, that you did in the book was you sort of used what Tony Robbins called, you know, transformational vocabulary, for example. And then this is why we put a journaling section, well, one of the reasons why we put a journaling section at the end of the book, but... Maureen, you would, instead of writing down, you know, Tuesday I have a doctor's appointment, you would call it a healing appointment. You would think of pain, and let's allude to Veterans Day again and our veterans, but there was a Marine in your life, right, that used to tell you pain is weakness leaving the body, and just really changing that mindset. So talk a little bit about that.
Literally, pain was, that's how I looked at it, as though every time I got a pain, which they used to feel like someone was placing, like, hot pokers, and they were sticking me in the legs with them. That's how it affected me. And they would last about 30 seconds or so. But I used to, every time I got one of those pains, I would just hold my breath, and it's like, you know what, that's another cancer cell dying. It's just putting up a fight, but it's going. And, you know, it may kind of be like a childish way of looking at it, but it got me through. And I didn't want to take the pain medicine. I wanted to know they were dying. And it was a pain journey to recovery, but it was still doable.
Why don't we, you know, I think there's, I want to talk a lot about, too, all the things that you want to do once this book takes off. But, Terry, why don't we take a short commercial break and then come back and talk with Maureen about the goals for you know, what's going to happen, what she's planning for when this book finally, well, not finally, it's brand new, but when this book really, really takes off.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we'll take a quick commercial break and we'll pick up with that when we come back. Hang in there, everybody.
Okay.
Okay. Excuse me. I am so sorry, everyone. Lisa, we were talking about this before the show. Here we go.
In a moment, cancer changed our lives forever.
We were told nothing could be done to enjoy these final moments together.
But in that moment, when all seemed lost,
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital gave us hope.
Because at this moment, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital is saving lives with pioneering research and care. We're changing the way the world treats childhood cancer by sharing our discoveries with doctors and scientists everywhere.
And we'll never have to pay St. Jude for anything, ever.
At this moment, she wants to be in her own bed.
I want to be back at school with my friends.
I want to be outside playing.
Please take a moment and join St. Jude in finding cures and saving children. Visit stjude.org.
Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast. A show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Right Stream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham, Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss on Thanksgiving Day of 2014. Thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back. We have today Maureen Miles Bucci on, and she wrote a fantastic book called A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. And we've been talking for the last 45 minutes or so about the book and what what the cancer was like and dealing with the cancer and all of that. But
one of the things I wanted to talk about were your goals now. I mean, the book is out there. It is, there's just no way it's not going to become a great book. I mean, a best-selling book, because it's too important. It's too many people need it. You know, they need it. It's like you call it a guidebook. They need it. Nobody's being painfully honest about what it is you're going to go through, whether you're a man or a woman, but especially with the female cancers. You know, like you said, I think it's probably the doctors are just thinking about the big things, and they're not thinking about the nose hair problem, and so your nose is going to run all the time, and they're thinking, oh, you're going to worry your hair falls out. They don't tell you that it hurts for your hair to fall out. So all of these things, I think, are going to be, you know, it's going to be very well received by the public. Whether you're someone who's dealing with cancer or whether you love someone who's dealing with cancer, I think this is going to be a big selling book. And I know that's obviously your goal, to reach as many people and touch as many people as possible. And what do you plan to do after this? What are your goals with
there's really two major areas that I would like to work in if this book is a success. One would be to provide dried chemo. Another would to pay for an extra eye appointment for somebody, because your vision changes during chemo. So I know they tell you try, you know, just to bear with it. You know, you might not need a new pair of eyeglasses, 6 months from now. But I'd like to be able to get those eyeglasses in that interim time so life goes back to normal. They're my two big things. And if I could do that, it would be wonderful.
Yeah, that's important. And that, you know, something else, and this just is completely has nothing to do with what we were just talking about, but this is how my mind works. I have a little ADD going on. Anyway, I want to ask you about chemo brain. You hear about chemo brain. My dad, when he was going through his chemo, he kept saying, I have chemo brain. They warned me I was going to have chemo brain, and damn if I don't have chemo brain. What the heck is chemo brain?
Chemo brain, it's really hard to describe, but it's like a bewilderment. It's kind of like when you walk into the kitchen and you're like, I forgot what I had, you know, gone in there to get. You even forget where you are. Like, you could even, like, where am I for a second? It gets as bad as that, and sometimes it's just you'll be talking in a mid-sentence. You'll just, like, it'll die off, and you'll stop, and that'll be it. You have to think about it to go back on, you know, to be able to start talking again. It's really strange. It's very forgetful, and it's bewilderment is the only word I can think of.
You know, it's funny because the only thing when my dad started talking about it, and I had heard the term before, and I just always assumed it was like pregnancy brain. And pregnancy brain is just, it's kind of like a hormonal thing that happens to you. Basically, you just get really, you know, like forgetful. You're very forgetful, and you're very, you can't find the right word. It's basically how I am all the time, not pregnant, actually. But it's actually worse than that. It's actually a lot worse than pregnancy brain. I mean, I really think it seems like, listening to my dad talk when he was going through it, it was, you know, he'd forget mid-sentence what the heck he was talking about.
Yes.
You know?
Right. It's a swirling. Like, you're trying to grasp, like, what was I just doing? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it kind of does, and I know it's weird that it does because I have been fortunate enough not to have to go through chemo myself, but I can kind of get what it feels like because it feels like, you know, pregnancy brain supersized mixed in with a little bit of Alzheimer's or something. You know what I mean? It's like this bunch of things.
Mm-hmm. The treatment is set up to kill. I mean, so I'm sure it does kill a little part of your brain, which is probably what we're experiencing. But it's a good outlet sometimes. You know, you can just say, oh, darn, chemo brain, I forgot.
Yeah. you not show up for that birthday party that you really don't want to go to and blame it on chemo brain. There you go.
Darn head again.
That darn chemo brain.
I want to just interject here, too, because, you know, it is Thanksgiving, and people are starting to think about, you know, Christmas and Hanukkah and gift-giving, that, you know, the reason we kept Maureen's book only in paperback, even in the age of Kindle, is because the journaling in the back is so important. And, you know, because you guys were talking about chemo brain, this actually reminded me. In addition to the blank journaling pages, Maureen has sections, like, for contacts, like for your radiologist's office and the various doctors, and you can write down their phone numbers. You can write down all of your medications and the dosage in this book and carry it with you as you go to your treatment. So if you know a woman who's dealing with cancer, this is a great gift to give them. And, you know, another reason why we didn't put it on Kindle is we want women to be able to write. Maureen alluded to the vision problems and the chemo head, and we just felt that a paperback was really the best way to go because, it's something they could easily take with them and write things down. And we just felt like Kindle wasn't really for the audience we're trying to reach, that they would be much better off with a paperback.
Yeah, unless they make a Kindle so that you can actually type notes in it or something, you're right. I mean, this is the best book. This is what a great gift for a book to give someone that's going through cancer. Because of the fact, I mean, it's also portable enough, you know, it's small enough and, you know, stick it in your purse kind of thing that you can take it and a pen and, you know, it's a great way to spend those couple hours. You're hooked up to, you know, the poison that they're pumping into your body, you know, to kill the cancer. So,
and,
you know, you could be making those notes in the back.
And if you're looking at it from the chemo girl point of view, because we lose feeling in our fingers a lot when you drop it, and it hits your foot, it's not going to hurt as much either. Because we do lose feeling in our hands.
See, these are the things that unless you've been there, you just don't know, everyone. I mean,
yeah,
who would know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, we know it.
Good morning, sorry.
That's okay, I'm done.
Speaking of things that little known facts, another thing, I have to point this out because it made me crack up. I mean, it is serious, but it was funny, too, the way Maureen put it in the book, her horror movie references. I had no idea, or I just never thought about how painful it would be to get a blood transfusion because the blood is cold. Like Maureen says in her book, you know, now I know why vampires choose live victims. So Maureen, tell us a little bit about that because I just thought it was a humorous way to prepare a woman for, hey, you know, this is not going to be, getting a blood transfusion is no day at the beach.
When you're getting a blood transfusion, you know, I guess you normally think that, you know, your blood runs warm and, but when they hooked me up, I got this horrible pain going through my arm, and I called the nurse over, and I said to her, something's not right. This is really painful. I can feel it. She said, it's frozen. That's why you're feeling it. She said, it's just cold. You know, it's thawing out. She said, it's freezing. And it was like you could be sitting on the sun and still not feel warm. You could not get warm enough with that blood going through you, but it really does its job. It works. It's worth it. Like, don't somebody not have it because it's cold. You can do it, but it is worth it in the long run because it makes you feel so much better.
Yeah, I bet. And there are so many things, you know, like you're talking about, you know, that that you go through. My dad, I remember, said something about, when he got radiation, he said the most painful thing was they had to tattoo, basically, mm-hmm. the spots where they were going to be focusing the radiation. And he said that was really, really painful. Radiation doesn't hurt. But what is that? I didn't have the heart to ask him. But tell me, what are those radiation, what is that tattooing he's talking about?
I have five of them, and that's where the laser is going to hit you. You lay on this skinny little table. It's only as wide as you are, and then you go up in the air, and you can't move. You have to stay perfectly still. And the machine comes around you, and it starts shooting whatever beams it is or whatever that they're shooting at you, and that's the point they hit. So you have to be tattooed, and it has to be permanent because, you know, they can't afford to have somebody do it next week, and it's a different spot. So I guess it's like pencil point radiation that you're getting, but it, you know what? It works.
Yeah.
Mine are blue. I don't know if people get different colors, but my tattoos are blue.
I didn't ask him what color it was, but one of the things I can tell you is that, you know, he couldn't handle the radiation for long term, and he had, because it was pancreatic cancer, had to go through 3 months of it. He made it about halfway through, and like you said, it was every day, 5 days a week anyway. And it was like an hour from his house. And again, he's 79, and his wife is, close to his age. It was a lot for them. And anyway, he just got too sick from the radiation, couldn't do it anymore, and quit it. And honestly, they had already said that it didn't matter. It wasn't going to extend his life more than a month or two anyway. So anyway, okay. But I can tell you that in that probably 6 week period that he was doing radiation, it did shrink the tumor. They did halfway through, they did a CAT scan and said that the tumor had shrunk and his pain went away. The pain that he'd been suffering with for weeks, you know, went away. So,
there
are so many good things about, what it does, even, you know, for him, even though it obviously doesn't have a great outcome, it is still, it is still something that it's proven to help. You know, it does help.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's nothing I've talked about today in the book, nothing I went through that I wouldn't go through again. There was nothing that scared me off. If it comes back, I'll be right back doing the same thing again. Nothing scares me. So, you know, that's, I hope y'all take that from this, that don't be afraid of it. It's not as barbaric as it used to be, and it's doable. We can all do it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest themes of the book, and I think it is. It's very encouraging for a woman.
Well, and that's something. Even though, I mean, cancer is a bad thing. I mean, it's a negative thing. It's not something that we can be all happy and joyful about. But what we're saying is that there are some in the book. There are some very positive ways of dealing with what you're going through, some really real, some true answers to what you're dealing with. And that's why this book is different than so many of the other books out there about dealing with cancer. This is for a certain, you know, a certain type of woman which is really most women, honestly, you know, that is going through a female cancer, ladies cancer, that is, you know, like this, it's going to be out there. It's, you know, and like Daria was saying, there are humorous things in the book. I mean, you're funny. You put things in a funny format in the book, and that's important. I mean, I always say laughter cures everything. If we laugh hard enough, I don't think we'll ever get sick, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I think laughter is an amazing thing. So I think having it lighthearted and fun. And by the way, I love the cover. I love the cover. I think the cover is just
the cover.
Cool.
Awesome.
Who did it?
Go ahead, Maureen.
Kia.
We're both talking now at the same time. Kia, I have to give my friend Kia Heavey a shout out. Yeah, I've come to know her through another writer's group that I'm involved in on Facebook, and I have used her on several projects. She's like my go-to designer girl. And Maureen, you know, you can share a little bit about your experience, what you felt with her. But Kia is someone who really listens, and she comes through, and she delivers. And if you want to change anything, she does it. I mean, she's just so incredibly talented. But Maureen, take it away. What were your thoughts about her work?
Her work was awesome. I wanted blonde hair. I wanted a cup of coffee. I wanted to be writing my book at the time. I wanted Lucy with me. Lucy had to have a necklace on because Lucy is also a little snobby girl. And that was it. Oh, and I had to have really cute shoes on her because I love cute shoes. She got everything is on the cover. It's amazing.
Yeah, the first thing that got my attention was the title. The second thing that got my attention was the cover. And I was blown away by the whole, and the cover fits the title perfectly. I mean, it's just,
she's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was, I mean, she's obviously very good. And if anybody that wants to find out more information about her, you can contact Daria, but, you know, she's really fantastic. And then there's also the, you know, side of it where, you know, you had to come up with the idea. I know when I wrote my book, you know, they're like, okay, what do you want the cover to look like? I'm like, isn't that what I'm paying you for? To figure out what the cover's gonna look like? But, so I had to be like, all right, so I kind of want it to be, you know, this and that. And then they created something from those ideas. I would have much rather used Kia, by the way, because my book cover is not nearly as good as yours.
I'll give you an example, too, when we were working with Kia, because, Maureen, I don't think you'll mind me telling this story. You know, originally you had wanted the female on the cover, that's Maureen. I mean, I call her, because it is Maureen, so we'll call her Maureen. But you had kind of wanted her to look more like you, and Kia came back with us and she said, you know, look, I'll whatever you want, you're the ultimate decision maker. But let me just point out, when I used to work for an agency in New York, my boss used to tell me that artwork should be aspirational. In other words, you want to present somebody with an image that's something that they can aspire to. Obviously, we don't look like, you know, the women that are on top of Glamour magazine either. But, you know, but in Maureen's case with this book, the woman on the cover looks very chic. She's very sassy. You can kind of tell she's got a little attitude. She's got her coffee. And so that was, you know, Kia pointed that out. She's like, you want your cover to be aspirational. You want somebody to look at that and be inspired. So I felt like, she gives you really good feedback. And, you know, and Lisa and Maureen, one thing I have learned with working with designers all these years, because in a previous life, in a previous job when I was writing e-proposals, I had to work closely with designers. The more description you can give them, the better. The more you can tell them, here's my concept, I just don't know how to draw, the better. And it makes the whole process work much more smoothly.
Yeah, she was a
pleasure to work with.
Yeah, I bet. I've heard Daria rave about her. And did she do any of our logos?
Actually, no. That's another very talented friend of mine, Carrie Lundy. She did Love Liberty and Lip Gloss and the RightStream logo. And I guess what happened with Kia, you know, when I was designing Shlomo's book cover, Carrie kind of, you know, she was unable to do it. So I said, you know, Kia, do you mind? And she said no, you know, and that was, you know, I worked with her, and I've worked with her on several things since then, and she's just great. I mean, they're both very talented women. It's just that Kia seems to have more time to do this, because although Kia also has a full-time job, she works at home, so she's able to fit this in, her little side business, a lot more easily. So, and she does a great job, so it's been great for me, because it's part of the overall package that I can offer to my clients. And I know, you know, it's so great to have a designer you know you can trust, you know, we'll meet the deadlines, that you know we'll listen to your client and not take it personally if they say, you know, I really don't like this, can we change that? And she just does it. And so it's wonderful. So you can visit her site at kiahevey.com. It's kiahevey.com.
I'm definitely using her for my next book. Not that I even know what my next book's going to be about yet, because I don't. I keep changing my mind, but I'm just saying.
I just add one other thing. She also did all my artwork for the social media, and we have a new site now, a new Facebook page called the Snobby Girl Cancer Club. So if there's any girls out there who want to join, just feel free, find us on there, and we'll be more than happy to have you. It's really a fun time.
It's a great
time. Why don't we wrap it up today with all the ways, all the things that are out there? And Daria and Maureen, obviously, you guys know more than I do, but all the ways that everybody can find the book, that people can find the Facebook page and all of that information.
Okay. The book is through Amazon. So you can, A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer at Amazon.com. It's right there. It's the first one that shows up. I do also have an author page. It's Maureen Miles Bucci, author. It's a Facebook page. There's also a blog, and as I previously mentioned, the Snobby Girl Cancer Club, and that's a Facebook page also. And we would really love to have anybody, especially if they're new to treatment.
Yeah, the new Snobby Girl Cancer Club, that group on Facebook, is much more conversational. It's much more focused on helping women who are dealing with cancer, whereas the author page is for anyone that wants to know more about Maureen. I mean, anybody's welcome in either group, but you know, the other one has a much more specific focus. And I just want to mention, too, before we sign off the air, that Maureen's got she's got plans for a whole Snobby Girl brand, and very soon there's going to be items for sale. I don't know, Maureen, if you've fully decided on which ones we're going to start with, but there's going to be apparel and hats and all kinds of things with the Snobby Girl Cancer Club brand on it. So stay tuned. It's getting really exciting.
Yeah, we're going to have coffee mugs and little purse holders, Snobby Girl purse holders. We're snobby and we know it.
Well, I just want to say, too, I just put in a Snobby Girls and boom, your book popped up so on Amazon. So you don't even have to, all you got to do is say it's Snobby Girls and you're going to, and she's the first book that comes out. And it's 5-star reviews. It's doing fantastic so far. And it's really not even 2 months out. I mean, you released it, was it September 21st, I guess it says here.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's not even, I mean, it's 6 weeks in and you're it's doing really, really well. So I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be a really big seller. I do. I'm predicting big sales.
I like that.
Yeah. I am. I really am. I get a really good feeling about it. I really do. I think that you know, once people see it, they're going to want it. I mean, it's just perfect. It's the title, the cover, what you're talking about inside, the part in the back for notes. I mean, all of it. It's just funny. It's just perfect, and it's actually very reasonably priced, by the way, too. So great stocking stuffer, people, for Christmas.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Great stocking stuffer.
Can I just say one other thing to you before we sign off? It is a great stocking stuffer. Also, just because, you know, you and Maureen are sort of local. You're both in the Philadelphia area. Maureen is available to do book signings. She did a couple at Lovely You in Media, Pennsylvania. That's the wig shop that she referred to. And Maureen, when you do these in-person events, I know with Lovely You, you donated a portion of your sales back to Lovely You to help support them with their efforts to provide wigs for women who can't afford them. So I just want to put it out there, if anybody listening is local to the Philadelphia area. Yeah, absolutely. If you run a support group, if you have a business, if you would like to have Maureen for a book signing, you can contact her at her blog, which is maureenmilesbucci.wordpress.com. There's a contact form there, or you can certainly connect with her through Maureen Miles Bucci, author, on Facebook, or the Snobby Girl Cancer Club on Facebook. But Maureen, I just wanted to put that out there because you're doing such a great job with that, and I think as lovely and wonderful as social media is, and it is because you can reach people all around the world, I don't want to overlook the importance of kind of bloom where you're planted and really get out there and meet people face-to-face. I don't think you can put a price tag on that. So if you're listening and you want Maureen, she's available.
And one last, the most important thing, if you have any symptoms, there's a great place to check them out. It's called Normaleah, NormaLeah.org. They're nonprofit. All they do is give you information. So if you have anything that just doesn't feel right, go on there and check it out.
Yeah, and really, nobody knows your body like you know your body, and if the doctors are telling you nothing's wrong and you still have something inside of you saying, I don't know, something feels off, you know your body, you know what it normally feels like. If something feels off, don't give up. You keep going. If your doctor won't listen, you find another doctor that will, and you keep fighting it, because our intuition is what saves us. Our intuition saves us every time, whether it's your life or whether it's from making a stupid decision, you know, whatever it is, your intuition is where it's at. So if you're really, convinced something's wrong, don't give up. Go to that site. Normaleah, you said?
Yes, Normaleah. They were two sisters who had ovarian cancer. It's Normaleah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's a fantastic thing, and you know, ovarian cancer is one of those things, you know, that a lot of times I think the slogan for it, if you want to call it a slogan, is listen, it whispers, or listen, care, something like that, and you know, so you know, the symptoms are very mild, and they're usually diagnosed late. So you know, if your gut's telling you something's not right, then, you know, maybe something's not right. So, you know, just keep fighting. Don't give up.
That's it. Exactly. Thank you. Thank you for that. Save the snobbies.
Yeah.
Stay snobby.
Yeah. Exactly. So Maureen Miles Bucci, her book is A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer, Surviving Cancer with Humor, Grace, and Style. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. I think this book is just going to be huge, and I encourage everyone listening, whether you know somebody with cancer, you have cancer, or you have a friend or a relative, whatever, you know, get them this book. I mean, you know, this is the perfect book for the women's cancers, and it's a unique group of cancers, and only women understand and only women know, and Maureen's put it all together in a great, fantastically humorous, edgy style that you're going to love.
Thank you very much. That was nice of you.
Absolutely. And thank you again for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you, Darren.
Right. Everybody go back for another piece of pumpkin pie.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Now the turkey coma will be setting in soon, right? The whatever that is. What is that? What is that thing they have in Turkey that makes you?
Oh, the tryptophan in Turkey.
Tryptophan, yeah. Everybody's like fading. Yeah, going to sleep. All right, everybody. Thanks, Maureen, so much for being on, and we'll be
welcome.
In touch soon. And hopefully, I'll run across you soon somewhere since you're so close.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be nice. Thank you very much again, and happy Thanksgiving.
Bye. Thanks,
happy
Maureen.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy
Bye.
Thanksgiving. Bye-bye. All right. So that was Maureen Miles Bucci with her fabulous book, A Snobby Girl's Guide to Dealing with Cancer. And it was a pleasure to have her on. I've been, like, totally in love with this book ever since you first told me about it. Before it was even released, Daria, you first started telling me about it when we talked. And I'm like, oh, my God, I love that. If I ever got cancer, this is the book I would need, because I'm exactly one of those girls. You know, I'm exactly the girl that's going to be, okay, how am I going to afford this wig? And, you know, and what's going to actually be all the things that go wrong? And, you know, it's just so amazing that she put that together and wrote that and now is setting up so many, you know, support groups, you know, through Facebook and all of that, and has such high aspirations for what she's going to be able to do if the book becomes successful, which it's going to, because everybody listening is going to go buy it, right?
That's right.
Right, perfect gift for Christmas, and it's the right thing to do on Thanksgiving. Yeah,
amen.
There you go. So anyway, Daria, talk about. Daria is actually is a ghostwriter, is a social media expert, is an editor, and a billion other things. And one of the things that, you know, we've been talking about so much is that everybody has a story. Everybody has something that's happened to them, and everybody wants to see, you know, probably has a book in them, at least one book. You've got a book in you, but people don't even know where to go. So, Daria, why don't you talk to everybody for the last couple minutes about what you do, what you're offering, and how it affects even them. I mean, anybody that's listening, this is something that you can do. You can do this. You know, you can actually write a book, and Daria can help. And why don't you tell everybody about that?
Sure. Well, thanks, Lisa. Yeah, I do. I believe that everybody has a story inside of them, and there are various reasons why people may not actually pursue it. Even in this age of new technology where it leveled the playing field and now really all of us can publish a book, a lot of people just don't know where to begin, or they're overwhelmed by the process. Maybe they have a great concept, but they're not a great writer. But they're, you know, maybe they're struggling because they've got a great story to tell about how they've overcome obstacles in their own life, you know, similar to Maureen, but they just don't know where to begin. Well, that's where I can help people, which, by the way, this also applies to blogs, too. Even if you're not writing a book, but you want to set up a blog and you need somebody to write for you and provide content, I do that as well. But I can, in the case of an author, whether it's ghostwriting or editing, like in Maureen's case, I was her editor. She wrote the book. I just made some, you know, some editing suggestions and changes just to kind of tighten it up and make sure that it was the best it could possibly be. So I can do that if you've already written something. But if you have a concept and you just don't even know where to begin, I can actually be your ghostwriter. I've done it for Shlomo Atiyah with Steps to Salvation, Lori Colombo Dunham with Reflections on the Ring, An Ordinary Woman's Extraordinary Tale of How She Saved Her Marriage and Family. And I work really closely. Now, ghostwriting is much more intensive in that you spend a lot more time with the person than you necessarily would with editing, but it can be very rewarding. So I can help you with that. I also can help someone navigate through the independent publishing process. I also did that with Maureen. She, like many other people out there, just didn't even know where to begin. Like, we have all this new technology, but oh my God, what do? I'm completely overwhelmed. I can handle the formatting, handle getting it on CreateSpace or Lulu.com, whatever independent publishing platform you want to use. And I actually do recommend CreateSpace because the lag time between your book being on CreateSpace and Amazon is just very brief. It's like 24 hours because CreateSpace is a division of Amazon. I can also help with getting the ISBN number, which is the all-important number for the Library of Congress that every author absolutely needs to have. A lot of people don't know that if you want to put your book in Kindle, you have to get a separate ISBN for that. Kindle formatting is also different from formatting for a paperback. I can do that. I, as we talked about Kia, you know, I have Kia and others that I can turn to provide excellent graphic design services at reasonable prices. I can set up your WordPress blog, your social media site. I can manage them if you want. If you're too busy and you don't want to take the time to manage them on a daily basis, because Lisa, you know we all know that that's necessary. If you, whatever you're doing, whether it's a book or your service, like in your case, your practice, your holistic health practice, you've got to be out there all the time. A lot of people don't have the time to do that. They hire me to do that. Or I can train you how to use these platforms and how to reach that audience, and then you can take that on yourself. So there's a variety of things I offer. If people go to my blog, DariaDiGiovanni.com, I added a new page last night. And by the way, Lisa, thank you so much for your help with that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Of course.
I have, it's titled, I hope you like my title. I published it before I even ran that by you, but it's called, Is There a Book Inside of You Screaming to Get Out?
I like it. Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah,
so,
because of this, we all have a story inside of us. As human beings, we've all been through so much. You know, every one of us has been through, obviously not like something Maureen's been through, but we've been through something. And sometimes it's funny, you know, in hindsight, it ends up being, you know, something that you could do a funny story about. It might even be fictional, and that's something else. It doesn't have to be true, you know, like real life. It could be fictional. It could be something where you are just not completely, you know, you just have a story in mind that isn't real life, or it can be a combination of both. Like, I a lot of times you can do, you know, your real life and kind of throw some fiction in with it, and boom, you've got a great story. And I just think that there's everybody has it in them. And who doesn't want to see their name on a book cover? Who doesn't want to be in the Library of freaking Congress, right? I mean, come on.
Exactly. It's an indescribable feeling when you first get your book in the mail. I published my book in 2008, Water Signs, and it was like when I first held that book in my hand, it was just such a feeling of accomplishment.
Me too.
Even if no one ever bought it, I was just so happy.
Well, and that's the thing, because you know what? You feel like you've left something behind. Like, you know, you now have something left behind. You know what I mean? Like there's something when you're gone, there's still a piece of you that's left. That's your work. You know, that's your story. And I just think that this is really fantastic. And honestly, Darius pricing, and this is important because people are like, oh, yeah, okay, but, you know, this is going to cost me a fortune. No, I mean, really, Darius working with the everyday, she is targeting, her target market is the everyday average person who doesn't have the time or the knowledge to put a full book together, to write the book from start to finish. They may be able to write pieces of it, but they don't know how to wrap it all up, whatever. I mean, wherever you're stuck or wherever you want to start, and you can afford it. It's not something that's tens of thousands of dollars, which you would pay, you know, some ghostwriters, you know, for the opportunity to have them, you know, to work with them. Daria is much more affordable and knowledgeable in all different areas. I mean, it's not just the ghostwriting, but I mean, you've taught me so much about social media, and I know you've taught a lot of other people a lot about social media. I mean, I was pretty good, but before I met you, I was not on Twitter. I may have already had an account, but I wasn't using it, you know, and now Twitter is like, oh my gosh, it's my life. I'm on Twitter more than Facebook now, you know, seriously, I use it all the time. So, and you know, just the difference, there's so many ways to make your life easier, so many ways to manage, anything, you know, any project you've got going on. So Daria's your girl. And Daria, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, if they go to my blog, it's dariazigiovanni.com. That's dariazigiovanni.com. There's a contact link there, and if you fill that out, it will go directly to my email. And I offer everyone a free 30-minute consultation. So whether or not you hire me, you get 30 minutes of my time where we can sit, we can talk and discuss your project and figure out really the best way for you to go. Because I'll be honest with you, like a client I'm currently working with now on his website, it's a WordPress site. I love WordPress, by the way. Those are the kinds of sites that I set up for people. You know, he originally thought he wanted to ghostwrite a book, but he was all over the place. He just didn't really know what he wanted to do with it. I said, you know what, Andrew, let's start with a website. He happens to have a condition called familial dysautonomia, which not a lot of people know about. And he's actually a success story because he's over 30. He's exceeded the odds. And I said, Andrew, let's start with you writing blog posts, and let's start educating people about what it is, and we'll make it very personable and funny, kind of like, you know, Maureen style. But we'll get the point across, and let's get your name out there. And down the road, all of those blog posts, we can incorporate into a book for you. So that's why I do that 30-minute consultation, because sometimes people, maybe that's what they really want, is a blog to start off with. And so, you know, and the other thing is, too, either way, whichever way the project goes, we have to have a good working relationship. And I think a 30-minute consultation gives us an opportunity to talk to each other, get to know each other a little bit, and kind of determine how well we'll work together. So that's why I offer that.
Yeah, and that's really important, because something that, you know, you really do have to do is have a good relationship with the person you're working with. I mean, you guys are gonna, you know, if you hire Daria to do, you know, to work with you on publishing your book, making a book, writing a book, whatever you're going to do, you and her are going to become best friends. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be for a while. And, you know, throughout the process. So the personality match is really important. And, you know, everybody loves Daria. It's impossible not to love you, Daria. You're just so easy to love. So before the tryptophan or whatever the hell that chemical is that's in turkey kills us all, I think that we should probably wrap it up today.
All right. Well, let me just give a plug for Lisa. Please tune in to Just Believe Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern, because she does a great job. Lisa is doing a lot more of the readings herself now, which I'm really happy about because she's really excellent at it. So, and if you've missed any of her shows, please, or any of our shows, just go to blogtalkradio.com/writestream, and you can hear all of them in the archives.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really important, because if you're not sure you want to waste your Sunday night listening to my show, all you've got to do is go back and listen to last Sunday's show, and then you're going to get an idea of what the show is about. And for me, you know, it's all about people calling in. So, you know, we call in, we do live psychic readings with either a guest psychic or myself, and you know, you guys can call in and get a free little reading, which is really cool. It's a lot of fun, and it's very lighthearted, and we laugh our butts off the entire time, so it's all good.
Yeah, and Lisa doesn't yell, so that's really good.
Yes, I am kind to people. Yes, that's a long story, guys. Anyway,
it's a
sad inside joke that I think will become funnier as time goes on.
Yeah.
So anyway, everyone, thank you so much for spending your Thanksgiving evening with us. And if you're listening in the archives, hope your Thanksgiving was fantastic. And we will be back on the air again next Thursday, 7 p.m. Love Liberty and Lip Gloss. And thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic rest of your evening.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.